it can be a very stressful time of year. Due lists are very long. Schedule is very long. This time of year, we're also doing other things at our house. We have to do year-end income taxes. All the receipts for all year long have to be added up. That's the way clergy taxes are. Then we have appointments with other things, like going to lots of Christmas programs. When the kids were little, there were three of them at school. We will sing Silent Night. We will say All is Calm. Well, we hope so. Might not all be calm, but we can make some points that all can be calm in the Bible's Christmas story. Number one, we'll look at God has made plans for the Lord Jesus Christ and plans for all of us. So that kind of helps, that whatever's going on, God had a plan for the Lord Jesus Christ and God had plans for us. And also, in the statement today of the Christmas story, Jesus is the basis for everyone to either rise or fall. That's where the title of the sermon came from. Based upon one's view of the Lord Jesus Christ, one's welcome, acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ, or one's rejection, disinterest in the Lord Jesus Christ, there will either be rising or falling. And number three, the outcome is decided on the decision of each heart. Each person decides what they think of Jesus, what their relationship to Jesus will be, and whether they'll be rising or falling. Our scripture passage will be after the Christmas account, but still not long after the Christmas account, in Luke chapter 2, earlier in Christmas accounts, the angels announce the Savior is born and good news to all people, and the shepherds hear and the shepherds go see the baby Jesus. At day 40, it seemed like Mary and Joseph were still in Bethlehem. At day 40, they will bring the boy Jesus to the temple, but it seems like they're still in Bethlehem and they're still close. Mary and Joseph had a child but did not have gold, frankincense, and myrrh yet, because when they get to the temple, they got to buy a bird, which means they did not have a whole lot of money yet. So Jesus was born first and in a manger, and then they probably moved to a house. And then on day 40, they still don't have gold yet. That's why a lot of people put the coming of the Magi as later. There were other kids going to be born. Jesus was the firstborn. The Bible lists the four brothers, James, who wrote the book of James, and Jude, who wrote the book of Jude. And then it says all the sisters. So there's four brothers. And then all these sisters, but very often commentaries say if it were just two, they'd say sisters. All the sisters might be at least three. So Jesus was the firstborn, and at least seven more. Shall we call them half-brothers and sisters? Jesus was born of a virgin, but he's first. Now, day 40, Mary and Joseph brought little Jesus to the temple for baby dedication. The Talmud adds some information about baby dedication. It's probably right. And what's interesting is the place of the baby dedication, because very often only priests go up on the temple platform. But it seems like fathers and mothers brought a baby up on the temple platform. It is given in the Talmud that the place of the baby dedication was right outside the wall of the Holy of Holies. I think both of these are fascinating. Most people cannot go up on the temple platform, but if your mom and dad have a baby, you can go up on the temple platform. Can't go into the Holy of Holies, only the high priest, only once a year. Can't go into that place where the ark was. But when you bring a baby dedication, you go up to the wall right outside the Holy of Holies, right up on the platform of the baby dedication, which shows that it was very, very important in Israel. On other days, you can't go on the platform. Got a baby? Go right on up. Other days, can't go close to the Holy of Holies. Got a baby? Go right on up. Very, very interesting. Now, that's the Talmud rather than the Bible, but it seems on day 40, they're bringing Jesus right on up the platform close to the Holy of Holies. Again, they brought birds, and that means they were still poor. That is why they could not afford a cow, could not afford sheep. They had to bring birds, and that usually helps people think about the order of events in Christmas. Very often the shepherds, again, were on the birthday. They're on that night. They go right away, but perhaps the wise men later, and Matthew does say they go to a house rather than a stable, so they go to a house. And it seems at day 40 that Mary and Joseph still don't have bags of gold and don't have frankincense and myrrh. So usually when they do the order, they put the wise men later, even later after day 40, they put them later when they had some gold. Here they have no gold. They have nothing to bring but a bird, which means they're poor. They'll get the money later, and then they'll have money to escape to go live in Egypt. And the Egyptian Christians do know that Jesus lived there for a while, and they are still very proud of that. So he went to the temple at day 40. And we're going to look at that part in Luke chapter 2. And we'll look at verses 33 through 35. Verse 22 says days of purification, so that's day 40. And now here's what they do at day 40, beginning at verse 33. His father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. That's Simeon. He already said some things. And now he will say some more. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed. It'll be point number one. He has a plan. Point number two, for the rise and fall of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Everybody's going to know what they think about Jesus. God will let it be revealed what each person thinks about Jesus. So number one, the child is appointed. Number two, the child is the basis for the rise and fall of every other one. Number three, the thoughts of each person's heart will be made known, and everybody will know whether they believe in Jesus or whether they had no interest in Jesus. First point, this child was appointed by God. If we do have a calm, like in Silent Night, if we do have calm, if we do can't sleep in serenity, it will be because we believe that God has plans for everybody. God had a plan for Jesus' first coming. God has plans for Jesus' second coming to rule the world as king. God controls right now the rise and fall of the nations. God has plans for the birds, according to Matthew chapter 6. He knows the days of the birds' lifespan. God certainly had a plan for Jesus. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 adds that God sent forth his Son in the fullness of time. means according to God's plan for Jesus. Simeon and Anna will see the baby Jesus in the temple as he is brought later after his birth. And they expected the Messiah to be coming soon. Maybe they were reading the book of Daniel. We might later look at the prophecy in Daniel. We won't do that today. But Daniel talks about 70 sevens, often translated 70 weeks. But it's actually 70 sevens. The 70th is the tribulation period of 7 years. The 69 would refer to 483 years until the decree to go rebuild the temple, and then the Messiah would be here. So maybe they were watching that. Maybe Anna and Simeon were watching the time that Daniel predicted, and they were thinking it's about time for the Savior to come. So they were often in the temple looking for who might be the Savior. One of my favorite Christmas songs, and we've heard the word Emmanuel today, O come, Emmanuel. I like it because it's probably started in 8800. How's that for really, really old? But they were singing about someone longing for the king to come. And that what was happening here with Simeon and Anna. And he says God had plans, and it was time for the Messiah to come for the first coming. Now, God's plans are as good as already done. We can talk about them in the past, but we have in 1 Peter 1:19 and 20 and Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Well, he didn't die on the cross before the foundation of the world, but it was so certain of happening, it's as good as done. God sees the end from the beginning. It's kind of like he's looking at the parade of history from up above. He actually sees the end from the beginning and sees it all. And he could give the time of Jesus' birth and the time of his death on the cross. Acts chapter 2, 23, the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. Well, Jesus was appointed. Jesus will come again. He is appointed. In Revelation chapter 6, those in heaven will cry, who can come and take the book and open its seals? The book is like the title deed to the world. Who owns the world? Who can decide how the final chapter will be written? And they said, stop crying, that the line of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, had paid for the whole world. Actual word is redeemed, but it means he bought. He bought the whole world. He can decide how it ends. There was an appointment for his first coming. There will be an appointment for his second coming. Shall come the time foretold, as we read in the, it came upon a midnight clear. The ever circling years will come a time foretold when the king will come back and get his kingdom. So the Lord had a plan for his first coming. The Lord had a plan for his second coming. He has a plan for all the nations. That was Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning. Also, Numbers 23:16, has he not said it? And shall he not do it? I have been in places where they said that God had plans for Jesus, but he didn't have plans for every single person. And a book was being passed around that God did not have plans for every single person, and they asked a whole room of pastors, how many of you disagree with it? Everybody. They all thought the book was junk, didn't even read it, thinking that God has plans for each person. If he plans for the birds, he plans for us. Here are a couple of verses on God has appointed a plan for you and I also. Jesus is the main in the text, but he's appointed a plan for us. Jeremiah 10:23, A man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. The teaching there is God directs our steps. The mind of the man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. That's another one. First one was Jeremiah 10. This is Proverbs 16. It is verses 1 and 9. Proverbs 19:21, the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. I like the plans that God has for us. I think sometimes He has allowed a choice, and we can go to A or B. Other times He's made a plan, and we're just going to do it. We're going to go through, shall I call it, door number one, and we're going to go through door number one because He didn't give us plans A and B in that particular choice. A man's steps are ordained by the Lord. Proverbs 20, verse 24. God had plans for the Messiah. God had plans for the apostles and prophets. Messiah is the cornerstone. Apostles and prophets are like the first foundation layer. We are building blocks. We are very used to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and so forth. Verse 10, we are His workmanship. We are God's workmanship. And that Greek word does have the idea of poetry in it, but it's kind of like we're His artwork. He's going to make decor out of it. He's going to make something very beautiful out of us, like an artwork. So, number one, Simeon says, the baby was appointed. God had plans for him. We have also added the other Bible verses that say God has plans for you and I. Next, each person's relationship with Jesus will determine rise or fall. Rise or fall. Let's go ahead and read verse 23 over again. We've already done appointed plans. Now we'll look at rise and fall of many. Luke 2:34. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed. Point number two, for the rise and fall of many in Israel. Well, he's talking about Israel and the coming king, although if we look at other Bible verses, he is the basis for the rise and fall of every single person. We often use the word fall, and the proper order is rise and fall, but fall is bad, so we'll begin with fall. We use the word fall. We talk about the fall of the Roman Empire, all falling apart. A little more recent history, the good fall of the Nazis. We hope there is never a fall of the United States. Looks like it's wobbling a little bit. We'll do what we can to straighten it out and keep it strong. But fall is failure. We talk about the fall of Satan, where he wanted to take over God's throne, and he was thrown out and fell down. And, of course, that relates fall and death. Death is actually separation from God, not so much the end of existence. So, properly, Satan falls. We talk about the fall in the garden. Again, fall means death, and death means separation. So, Adam and Eve didn't die right at that moment. But they brought in death, unless there is faith in Jesus the Savior. They brought in separation, and they had to leave the presence of God in the garden. Fall can be like losing a battle, like the fall of Babylon in the Old Testament. Fall of Babylon is in the end times also. Revelation 18, fallen is Babylon the Great. We picked the scripture reading out of Matthew 7 because it was talking about individuals falling or standing in the storm. In Matthew chapter 7, we have the foolish man builds his house upon the sand, does not listen to these sayings of mine, it falls over. And then we have the wise man builds his house upon the rock, defined as these sayings of mine, these teachings of Jesus. And when the floods come and the winds blow, it will not fall. Thinking about building, we did Psalm 118 for Thanksgiving. The chief cornerstone was rejected by the temple builders, but he started something new, and he is the cornerstone, and the apostles and prophets are the foundation, and he's building us up. We don't fall. Unbelievers fall. We rise. Rise correctly often makes us think about Lazarus and rising from the dead. And we thought about those songs even for today, although we did pick Christmas song. We will rise up in the sense of rising up from the dead, but we will rise up in the sense of God gives each person something to do. God gives them ability. God has a plan. One's relationship to Jesus, God can say, get up and get after it. Get something important done in life. So we've done number one and number two. The child has an appointment, plans for us. The child is the basis for fall and rise. All who trust in Jesus as Savior will rise again from the dead in the future, but we'll rise up right now and get some things done. Now we come that He is a sign to be opposed in the thoughts of many hearts. The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. So He is a big sign. See that at the close of verse 34? A sign to be revealed. And then verse 35, eventually, everybody will know what a person thinks about Jesus, what they think about this sign. We go down the highway, and we have signs everywhere, and we have an exit sign. If you want to go to so-and-so, go this way. We could miss a street sign. It's a little better this time of year with the leaves gone. I have a harder time catching all of the residential street signs with the leaves on. But every once in a while, you look where I didn't see any sign at all. But the signal of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's not going to be missed. He's not going to be missed when He comes back. Every eye will see Him. Zechariah 12, verse 10, they will look upon Me whom they have pierced. But even right now, it's kind of hard to miss Jesus. There are churches everywhere. Even in the big liberal cities, there are churches everywhere. There are Christians everywhere. Isaiah 11 talks about the offspring of Jesse, and he will stand as a signal for all the peoples. And Simeon right here, he will be a sign. Right now, people do have to think about Jesus. He has sent the Messiah at the appointed time. One's thoughts about Him will determine whether there will be a fall or a rise. We think about Him. And every heart has to decide. Unbelievers should be stressed out at Christmas. If they leave Jesus out of their thoughts, they leave eternity out of thoughts, leave forgiveness out of thoughts, you really shouldn't have total calmness. A silent night can be right for Christians, where there can be comfort and joy. Because thinking about these things, God had a plan for Jesus' first coming and will have for the second coming. God has plans for us. When we trust in Jesus as Savior, we're in the rise category. Not only end time, life after death and eternal life, but to rise up right now to try to get things done. And He is the sign that everybody has to look at. And in the case of believers, we have looked at the sign. We have decided to trust in Him, and all these promises are ours. Will the musicians please come?